All right. I'm going to talk a little bit today. I didn't get to say everything I wanted to say last week. So you can call this a part two or a rehash, whichever one you want, I guess. Psalm 23. Let me hold my page open here. Psalm 23. I just want to read it real quick. Starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, we come to you today, God, to hear you speak. We come to you today to receive your grace and love that we so desperately need. God, we pray that you would quiet the voices in our head, in our lives that tend to prevent us from hearing the truth, hearing your truth. And Jesus, as we kind of walk through this together today, we pray that you would just be with us and you would show us the beauty of this text and the beauty of what you have to say. Amen. So Psalms 23 for me has been a chapter that I, a psalm that I started going to, a sort of rediscovery, I guess, a few years ago. It's weird, you know. I said last week that this is one of those texts that you hear read at funerals. You know, especially on TV. You know, the priest is standing there, and the grave is there, and you know, it's like that's the go-to chapter to read to bring comfort or whatever, as it should be. But I had never really given it too much thought, and I mentioned this guy last week, a guy named Adam Wright, put several psalms to music, and this was one of them, Psalms 23. And I love this guy's music, and so I got the album and started listening to it. And Psalm 23, it was like God just kept bringing me back to it, like sort of challenging me, like, do you believe this? Like, do you believe these words? Is this real to you? And over the course of a couple of years, God began to sort of unveil and unpack what I believed about him, which is kind of what I want to talk a little bit about, and I won't keep us too long. I won't keep us too long. But how do we see God? Think for that. Think about that. Think about that for a second. Like, how do you? How do I? How do we see God? What are the? What's the picture? What's the image that we get in our head when we see God? Because here's the deal. This is what I believe, and this is what God has really revealed to me. God cares far more about how you see him than he cares about your behavior. God cares far more about how you see him than he does about your behavior. Like, There's a fire truck coming down the road. How about that? Got a bit of an emergency here. We're just gonna keep going, so I know it's kind of hard to stay focused when there's a fire truck coming down the road, but it's like, how do we see God? What image do we get in our head? Like, when I read this text, when I started going through this text, I had to understand, I had to come to terms with how I see God, what image I get of God in my head when I think about Him. And this all sort of came to a head for me back last winter, when I really had to deal with, God was pushing me to deal with how I see Him in my head, like what I believe about God. Is He a good father, or is he just some distant God that I can't really relate to? I had to come to terms with that. And there were several things in my life, and I'll just tell you a little bit. For me, we kind of all have an idea as a younger people of what we want our lives to look like, right? Everybody? Am I the only one? We kind of have an idea of what we want our lives to look like, right? We have an idea of what we want to be when we grow up. And I'm no different. I had this idea of what I wanted to be when I grew up. And mine was music. I wanted to play music. That's what I wanted to do with my life. And through one thing or the other, through the course of my life, that didn't happen. I found myself at 39 years old struggling with that reality, that ship had kind of sailed for me. And so I didn't realize how much that bugged me until there was a place in time where I realized how much it bugged me. I started deer hunting. Got any deer hunters? Anybody? No? One? There you go. I started deer hunting a few years ago, probably about 5 years ago. And I have, in my deer hunting crusades, I've got one doe under my belt. And last year, I had been successfully tracked a buck for the first time in my life. Like, I tracked it myself, I followed it through the woods, like I was following the trails, following these tree rubs and these scrapes in the ground, and I knew where that deer was gonna be. So one morning I woke up at like 3 a.m. and got my stuff ready, and right before daylight I get in this tree and I'm sitting there, and it's like dawn, like the sun's coming up. And that morning I saw not one buck, I saw three bucks in one morning. And I'm sitting there, and one of them was behind me and he was kind of walking that way, so I really couldn't, it was kind of hard for me to stand up and turn around and get a shot. And, well, the next two, I heard them like snorting. Like, if you, I don't know if you ever heard a deer snort, but when they're about to fight another deer, they start to snort. They get riled up. They're about, you know. Well, I'm sitting there, and I hear this deer snort over to my left. Well, then I hear all this racket to my right and another deer snort to the right. And I'm like, holy crap, they're going to fight, like, right here. I'm going to kill both of these suckers. I was like, I'm about to own this, son. So I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing all this crazy racket coming down through the woods, and I hear this other one coming through. Well, the one that was coming from my right, he was closer, and he was looked like he was going to walk right where I needed him to. And so I prop my gun up, and I am like, just like, my heart is about to beat out of my chest. And this thing is beautiful. I mean, he is glorious. Big 6-point, not huge rack, but big for me. He's walking down this hill, And I propped my gun up, and I waited and waited and waited until I just could not contain myself, and I took my shot. And that sucker, like, I shot, and he takes off running. And I'm like, I'm sitting there going, and I've heard, you know, I've heard enough deer story, talk to all my deer hunting friends, you know, sometimes they'll run on you. You know, sometimes you'll hit them in the right place, and that adrenaline takes over, and they'll run a good 50 yards and fall down or something. So I'm thinking, well, that's got to be it, because there's no way in hell I missed this thing. Like, he's 15 yards from me, you know? Well, he goes running up the hill, and I sit there, and I texted Roger. Some of you know, texted Roger and said, hey, man, I just took a shot. How long do I need to wait to track this thing? Roger says, man, you need to wait a good 30 minutes to an hour. Like, don't get out of your tree yet, because if you do, you're going to scare him off, and he's going to run further. So I start crawling out of my tree after about an hour or so, and my heart's just racing. And I'm sitting there going through my head. I'm running through my head like, surely I shot this thing. I mean, I'm an idiot if I missed this freaking deer. He was so close. So I'm crawling out of my tree. I walk over, and Roger's like, hey, you know, wait an hour, go look for blood. So I walk over, and I'm looking for blood, and I don't see any blood. And I'm like, crap. So I texted Roger, and he was at work, so he couldn't respond. I call Keith, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, I think I just shot a deer, and I'm like tracking. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. So Keith, I'm on the phone with Keith, and I'm walking through the woods, and he's like, man, look for any sign of blood, any, like, you may have to walk a good way. So I'm like walking, I'm looking, and I'm trying to think of, like, I saw where he ran. So I'm like walking through the woods. Well, at this point, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm getting pissed off. And I'm glad there was not a camera out there, because I said some pretty terrible things, okay? So I'm walking up the hill, and there was something that happened when I was looking for that deer. And let me go back. Let me rewind. You know, the whole music thing didn't work out for me. And I thought I was okay with that. But I felt like that's what God called me to, and it didn't happen. So it was like this disappointing thing in the back of my head. And as I'm walking through the woods, I exploded in anger at God. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm like, this is how everything works out for me. This is how every damn thing in my life works out. You dangle stuff in my face, and then you pull it back. And I just lost it. I mean, I just went off. And this went on for a good long while. I'm out in the middle of nowhere screaming at God like a moron because I didn't hit a deer. Let that sink in for a minute. It's as ridiculous as it sounds. And so I calmed down. I packed my stuff up. I gave up. I mean, I tracked this thing for like 2 hours, 3 hours, and didn't see any blood, so I'm pretty sure I didn't hit the thing. And that was another thing. I'm like worried. This thing's out there dying and suffering, and, you know, and it's like there's that animal lover in me that's going, you asshole, you let this thing die in the middle of nowhere. So anyway, like I let all that go, packed my stuff up, I went home, and I'm pondering what happened. Not the fact that I missed a deer, but the fact that I exploded like a crazy person screaming at God. I'm like pondering that, and I start to be apologetic. I'm like, God, I'm sorry. I don't know why that, well, what's going on with that? Like, what's going on with me? So I'm driving down the interstate. I was hungry. I was tired. So I pull in this fast food place. And I go up to the drive thing, get my food. And they said they had to cook it some. So they were like, pull over and we'll bring it out to you. So I pull over. And I swear to you, I pulled over and I parked my truck. And I heard God say to me, do you still not believe that I am good? Like, do you still not believe that I am good? And I think what broke God's heart the most that day was not the fact that I cussed him and I lost my temper. I think it was the fact that I saw him as a God who dangled things in my face and pulled them away. And that he just wasn't really that good. He wasn't the loving, in my mind, he's not the loving father that I said he was. And there's this beautiful moment in the Gospels, where Jesus is hanging out with the disciples, and Jesus says to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And, you know, they say, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, come back from the dead, some say this, some say that. And Jesus looks at Peter, and I just love this moment. He looks at Peter, and he says, but who do you say that I am? And Jesus cares what you believe about him. He cares how he is concerned with how you see him in your head. And that day, man, I put my headphones in. I turned on Adam's music, Psalms 23. And I began to wrestle with the reality that God loves me, that God is good. And some of you guys have been through a lot worse shit than I've been through. Some of you guys have been let down and let down and let down. And I can't imagine how you feel about God. But can I just tell you that God cares about how you see him? God cares whether you believe he's a loving, good father or not. And I know a lot of you have messed it up. A lot of you messed it up last night. A lot of you are hungover. A lot of you done a lot of bad things. Can I just tell you that God cares a hell of a lot less about that than how you see him as father, than whether you believe he's good or not? And that day, man, I had to come to terms with that. And can I just tell you that now I see Psalms 23 a lot differently. That day I sort of, almost a little bit reluctantly, gave God my hand and say, okay, I trust you. I trust you. And here's the deal. You know what's beautiful about it? I really wanted to be a musician, okay? I really wanted to travel the world and play music. But you know what I love now most about my life? I love sitting on the couch and watching cartoons with my kids. I love spending time with my wife, taking her to dinner. And I got friends who did it. They went and toured the world and played music and everything. A lot of those guys are divorced. They don't see their kids that often. And that could have been me. But here's the deal. God knew deep down in my core, down in my heart, what I really, really longed for. He knew that I wanted to be a dad. He knew that I wanted to be a husband. He knew that I wanted to have a family. God knows us. He knows us. We are seen by him. He knows the cries of our hearts. He knows the frustrations. He knows how many times we've been beat down and broken. He knows those things. And he cares about it. And he wants you to know that he is a good father. He is a good God. He is a good shepherd that leads us through green pastures and by running streams of water. He cares about your nourishment. He cares about whether you eat. He cares about whether you have clothes on your back. He cares about those things. And I would just challenge you today, begin to understand, begin to believe, begin to explore in your own heart. Let God take you into the deep, dark places of your heart and reveal to you what you really believe about him. And let him redeem that. Because he cares about it. He's that loving. He's that caring. We're going to play this song, my friend Adam. And I'm playing it over the speakers just because I love the way he does it. And I just can't do it as good as him. So we're just going to do that. But I'm going to say a quick prayer and we're going to do that. Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord. We ask you to reach down into our hearts, into our souls. God, we ask you to take us by the hand and lead us into those deep, dark places in our hearts where the unbelief resides, where the doubt resides, where it comes from. And Jesus, we ask you to begin to heal, begin to restore, begin to make new those places. And God, I pray if there's anyone here, Jesus, who's frustrated, who's angry at you, God, will you just bring them comfort, God, today? Would you just disrupt their lives today? God, would you just make your presence known? In Jesus, your name we pray. Amen.